Genesis chapter 18. We're going to read a number of verses together, beginning at the verse 17 and reading down to the end of the chapter. Genesis 18, verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are in? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. He spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. He said unto him, O let not the Lord be angry that I will speak. Peradventure there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, O let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham. And Abraham returned unto his place. Amen. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. Just those words at the end of verse 25. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What a time in history this was. What a time in the life of Abraham. At this stage, he is now 99 years old. He has just received news that in 1 year he will be a father to a child born of his wife Sarah. But in the next instance, as that joy is there and that happiness is there for Abraham and for Sarah, in the next instance, God reveals to him that he is going to go and to destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sin was grievous. Their sin was great. And God had given Sodom and Gomorrah ample opportunity to turn and to repent and to turn from their sin, but they refused. God had been long-suffering. God had been patient, but his patience had run out. And now he would judge those cities for their sins. As John Blanchard said, God is not always a God of immediate justice, but he is a God of ultimate justice. He wouldn't simply judge them collectively as two cities. Rather, he would judge each individual from within those cities. He would take each individual based upon their own lives, upon their own actions, upon their own words. That's why Abraham stands before the Lord. And he begins at that number of 50. And he's saying, Lord, if there are simply 50 people within these two great cities, Lord, because I know you're going to examine each individual. I know you're going to search out each heart. I know you're going to look at their lives, look at their actions, their thoughts, their words. You're going to look at each individual separately. So Lord, if there's 50. Then he takes it down. Lord, if there's 45. If there's 40. If there's 30, if there's 20, and he takes it right down to 10. And Abraham believes, surely there's going to be 10. But yet it tells us, and we know, that there wasn't even 10. See, God is the judge in every trial. And he alone judges every person. Psalm 97 in the verse 2 tells us righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. He judged Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll find out even in Genesis 13 in the verse 13. The men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. God passed his judgment. God punished them for their sins. He punished them in the form of the fire and the brimstone coming down from heaven. But tonight I want to bring it a little closer to home. I want us, and shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I said someone was going to be on trial this evening. That someone is each of us. God is coming to examine you. God is coming to judge you. He's going to judge your life. He's going to judge your actions. He's going to judge your words. He's going to judge your thoughts. We're in the courtroom this evening. Because, my friend, there is coming a day known as Judgment Day when you will stand before Almighty God. It's called Judgment Day for a reason. Because God will judge you. God will judge me. Let me say from the outset that you will get a fair trial with God. We have heard too many times over the years of miscarriages of justice. Men have been sent to prison for crimes that they never committed, and they've done many years in prison, and then after the development even of the DNA process and all of the science, they've been shown these men actually didn't do crimes. And there have been those that have actually got off with crimes even though they were guilty. There have been those over the years that have found a loophole in this system, and that's how they've got off with the crimes that they committed. But my friend, this evening, there is no loopholes with God. You will get a fair trial. There is no injustice with God. There is injustice in this world. Yes, that's a fact. Today, wrong is seen as right, and right as wrong. Solomon spoke of it even in Ecclesiastes 10 in the verses 6 and 7. He said, folly is set in great dignity. The rich sit in the low place. I have seen servants upon horses and princes walking as servants upon the earth. In other words, Solomon simply saying the whole system is back to front. Why are servants upon the horses, and why are they their leaders, their masters actually leading them? No injustice in the court of Christ. There's no injustice in Judgment Day. Let me set the scene. Revelation 19, it tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ at the end will bolt out of heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in great glory. There is a great fanfare. There is that great trump, even at the end of days, whenever the Lord will return. And he's going to come back in those garments that are white, but they're dipped in blood. They're the blood of his enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ isn't coming back to be laid in a manger. He's coming back as king. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And He's going to come into that courtroom. And let me tell you this, it's very different in that day, because you go to court today, and when the judge walks in, all rise. But in that day, every knee shall bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The greatest atheists that have ever lived, that have spent their whole lives saying that God does not exist, on that day, even the atheist's knee will bow. And even the atheist will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every president, every emperor, every dictator, every prime minister, king, queen, every regal, every head of state that there's ever been, they all will bow the knee. All confess Christ is Lord. What is that saying? In other words, every single person come judgment day is going to confess this: Jesus Christ has the authority to judge. And they're saying, I will accept what the Lord says. He sits upon a white throne. Like any other court, the judge will make his judgments based on the laws. Just as it is in our own land, the courts will meet, and the courts have the legal system, they have the laws. And if you break the law, then you end up in court. So it is the case on judgment day. God has his laws. Because it tells us in Revelation 20 that the books are there. The books will be opened. The law that governs us is God's law. God's law is revealed to us in Scripture. The moral law is condensed down into just 10 commandments. So you're in trial. God, as the judge, is going to go through each of his laws. As I said, it tells us in Revelation 20, the books are opened. And if God is going to judge you off his law, let's just very quickly run through a number of the Ten Commandments and let's see how you're going to do. The first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let me ask the question tonight, have you kept that law? Have you made something in your life to be a god for you? There are those today that have made a god out of work, or a god out of sport. There are those today that have made gods out of celebrities, or sports stars, or pop singers. Now whatever that person says, whatever that person does, they will follow, they will worship, they will do exactly as that person tells them. Remember, you've changed the God of the Bible into your own version of God. And you've condensed down and you've decided, I want God to be a God of love, and that's all I want Him to be. And I want God to be a God of acceptance, and I want Him to accept me for who I am. But yet, God says, I shalt have no other gods before me. Third commandment is, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Let me ask the question this evening over your life, have you ever blasphemed the name of God? Has there ever been a time in your life, maybe a time of great sadness or a sudden attack or a fright or a scare or whatever it is, and you just took the Lord's name in vain and you just blasphemed in that second? Fourth commandment is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Do you worship God every Sunday? That one day in seven that the Lord has set aside, the Lord had decreed from all eternity past, He revealed there at the end of creation, the day of rest, 6 days shalt thou labor, do all thy work, but there's one day, give it to God. public and the private worship of His most glorious name. Is Sunday any different to you than every other day of the week? Do you get up on a Sunday and say, oh, just going to carry on with my work, or Sunday's now the day for cleaning, or Sunday's the day for washing the car? Sunday's a family day, preacher. You see, the rest of the week, my wife works, I work, and, well, Sunday's the only day we can have as a family. So we don't go to church. Or we'll just go in the morning for that 1 hour, and then the rest of the day, well, that's family day. See, in other words, what you're saying there is family trumps God. And family's more important than God. Because you're saying, it's God's day, yes, but I need my family time. And the fifth is honor thy father and thy mother. You obey your parents when you were younger, every single thing they ever said. Six is, thou shalt not kill. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. That means even looking with lust. Eight, thou shalt not steal, whether big or small. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness. And even, in other words, thou shalt not lie, even what people call the little white lies. Ten, thou shalt not covet. Oh, but preacher, I'm not Jewish. These Jewish laws, them Ten Commandments, they were given to Moses. They were given to the Israelites after they came out of Egypt to govern the people. They were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. They're not for me. They're for the Jews. But yet Revelation 2, verses 14 to 16, it says, for when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus according to my gospel. Do you know the first place the law was ever written? Because if you want to go down that road and say, well, the law was only given to the Israelites, well, that means that you're saying that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Noah, what did they have? What did Adam have? When Adam was created in the Garden of Eden, how did Adam know how to live? How did Adam know what was right and what was wrong? Because the law was written on his heart. See, my friend, you have a conscience. You know what is right and what is wrong. Not simply because it tells us in the Bible, but because your conscience and your heart tells you. Because God created you in His image. God wrote His law on your heart. In Revelation 20, it tells us the judge will open the books. That means there the books are opened. He has every single sin that you have ever done. From the moment you were conceived to your very final breath. Every single sin. Every single thought. Every single word, every single action, they're all written down in His books. He hasn't missed any. Oh yes, whenever we're younger and all, we think, oh, we can get away with things. Maybe in the workplace you think, oh, so-and-so can get away. They've done this, they've done that. They've messed about, they've stole this, they've stole that. And they seemingly got away with it. Let me tell you, my friend, Judgment Day, you don't get away with anything. God sees and has recorded every single thing. You know, in the court case, this was put to me the other week, but I've done more good than bad. And surely if my good actions outweigh my bad, then that's going to be okay, isn't it? God's going to accept that. Try that in our land. If you committed a crime, say you robbed a bank, and you went to court, and you got up and you told the judge sitting before you in the court of this land, you said to him, "But, Your Honor, I have 40 years of being an upstanding member in society. I've helped everyone. I've never got in trouble with the law." Is he going to let you off? Because you've 40 years of good living against one crime? Is he going to go and say, "Yes, go ahead, you're allowed. Yes, you robbed a bank, but that's fine because you've got your 40 years and that outweighs the crime"? No, he's going to say, you've still done the crime. You're still guilty. You must be punished for the crime. It tells us in Revelation 20, as well as them books being opened, there's another book is opened. It's the book of life. The book of life is there to record every single person who came in saving faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single person that repented of their sins and asked the Lord to save them, their names are written down in the book of life. In other words, there in that court, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, "Open the books." And he's going to go through, yes, all of the actions and all of those evidence against you. But then the book of life is there, and that question is asked, what did you do with Christ? What did you do with the offer of salvation? And if your name's not in the book, it simply means that you refused. You rejected. So my friend, when you consider your life, you consider everything that you've done. You consider all of that evidence that is going to be presented against you. What will be your defense? See, you don't have a defense attorney. You can't bring in the top barrister in the land to speak on your behalf. Whenever it comes to judgment day, you stand before the Lord on your own. You don't bring in your husband or your wife to speak for you. You don't bring in a parent to speak for you. You will speak for yourself. What are you going to say? What reason can you give for your sins? The answer is none. There is not one thing that you can say to explain why you rejected Christ. The judge of all of the earth who shall do right will hand down the sentence of Matthew 25 and the verse 41. He will say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." My friend, if you end up there, you're there for all eternity. With no early release, no court of appeal, No community sentence. God's judgment is final. And it will be carried out to the maximum. But yet, my friend, tonight I want to give you some good news. This is not Judgment Day. This is a day of grace. Judgment Day is coming. But the judge has not come yet. Therefore, my friend, we are waiting Judgment Day, yes, but therefore we are on the day of grace. In other words, simply put, it's a day of opportunity. Today he gives you an opportunity to settle out of court. Today the judge allows you to make terms of peace. But my friend, understand this. They're not your terms. They're his terms. He is perfectly holy. You're in your sin. You have no right to stand and demand anything. It's not a case like two wars or two battling factions coming together and they come to make terms of peace and one says, oh, I want this, and the other one says, well, I want this, and they come to an agreement. No, 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 no. When you come before the Lord for peace terms, it's his terms, not your terms. And there's only two terms of peace. Number one, full admission of guilt. You confess your sin to the Lord. You say, Lord, I am a sinner, deserving of hell. I have failed thee, I have sinned against thee in thought and word and in deed. Secondly, full surrender. Lord, I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. I surrender my all. That's his terms. That's the only way that you can have peace with the judge. My friend, tonight you need to accept these terms. You need to heed his words, even as Hebrews 3 in the verse 15 says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, there are men today, and whenever they get in trouble with the police and all, and they are involved in a crime, they'll say, well, I want my day in court. And I'll take it to the judge, and I'll fight it there. My friend, you don't want to have your day in court with Christ. You don't want to go the full way and take it right to Judgment Day and say, oh, I'll sort it out then. He will not spare you in Judgment Day. He will not show you any mercy in Judgment Day. But today, in the day of grace, even as our sister sang, he offers mercy. He offers pardon. So what is the conclusion to one who comes to Christ? Make terms of peace. You come and accept Christ's terms. You come and you confess your sin. You give your life to the Lord. And with his precious blood, he wipes your slate clean. Even though you're guilty. Even though it'll be just and fair to punish you, yet he will wipe your slate clean. And he will declare you innocent. How is that possible? How is it possible that one who is guilty can be declared innocent? Mercy. Mercy. Not only does the Lord allow payment, but He allows someone to pay your debt for you because you can't pay it for yourself. Not only does the judge allow someone to pay it for you, but then the judge will step forward himself. The judge says, I'll pay it for you. I'll take your sin and your sorrow. The judge himself, the one to whom every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, yet the judge himself humbled himself, made himself lower even than the angels. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You ever heard of any judge in this world taking the punishment for the criminal? You ever heard of a judge getting down out of his judgment seat and saying, that criminal is guilty, but I'll pay it for him? He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The judge declares you innocent. Doesn't matter then what accusation will be put up. Doesn't matter what the devil will say, and the devil will argue, no, they deserve to die. They deserve to be punished. The devil will cast up your sins. You're an awful person. You think of your past. You robbed, you stole, you blasphemed. You're an awful, wicked person. Judge, you go, no. There is therefore now no condemnation. Can't condemn that person because they're in Christ. You know, Martin Luther, many times after he got saved, testified of how many nights the devil would come and attack him. The devil came time and time again against Luther, and he just cast up all of Luther's past. Do you remember, Luther, you used to do this and you used to do that, and how you were so against the Lord and against His gospel? Martin Luther used to just simply sit back. After a while he'd say, devil, is that it? And then he'd just simply say, no condemnation. I'm in Christ. So then what happens to the Christian? And judgment day comes in the world. All of the earth and every individual is being judged. What happens to the Christian? Their name is found in the book of life. Therefore, there's no punishment or sentence to be passed upon them. But something wonderful happens. See, it's not simply the case that you're just declared righteous and then you go away. Because the judge is different. The judge will say in Matthew 25 and 21, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And then he says something wonderful. Come home with me. Because John 14 and 3 says that where I am, there ye may be also. You ever heard of a judge turning round to the criminal, telling them, I want you to come home and live with me? One who's guilty. Yet the judge, he pardons them of their sin. He pardons them of their crime. He wipes that slate clean. He declares them righteous. And then he says, actually, come on home with me. I want you to live with me forever. I want you to enjoy my presence forever and forever. That's the judge of all the earth. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, he will. My friend, there is only one of two endings that you will experience. It's either the words of the judge saying, depart from me into everlasting fire. A fire that's prepared for the devil and the fallen angels. Or else he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Let me ask the question as we close this evening. What words will you hear the Lord say to you? You stand before the Lord. What's the Lord going to say? Is he going to say, well done, come home? Where I am, there you may be also. Are you going to hear those most horrendous words? Depart, ye cursed. I never knew you.